Good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you again this Lord's Day. I imagine you all sitting here in your place in this sanctuary. This is the 12th Sunday of our service suspension, and it is the first Sunday of a new month, the month of June, and therefore our observance of the Lord's table. I know we can't meet together quite yet, and so I would ask you to spend some time in quiet self-examination before the Lord this morning, and then reflect on God's grace in giving us his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to be our Savior and our Lord. Take some moments to thank the Lord for loving us enough to go to the cross and die for our sins. Let's praise the Lord for the privilege to know him by grace through faith to the saving of our souls. And let us commit ourselves to living for him and serving him with all of our abilities and strength for his own glory and his own name's sake. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow in your presence this morning. We are thankful to you for your watchful care over each one of us. We thank you for looking out for us as a local church family as well. And even in these days of separation, we know that you are still in control of all the events in this world and in our lives, and that your plans and purposes are coming to pass. Even through this COVID-19 pandemic. We rejoice today in the fact that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, and we thank you that we can read it in our own language for the benefit and blessing of our own lives and our souls. We thank you for just the opportunity to be together this day of technology that we have. We can at least still connect with one another in some meaningful ways, and I thank you for that. And we pray that you will continue to bless and undertake for each one of us. We look forward to the day when we will be able to meet here together in face to face and in person, and help us to be steady and faithful and true to you in the mean times. We thank you for this morning, the opportunity to have this service and to hear from your word. We pray that you'll bless all things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a couple of comments and some announcements for you. First of all, we learned last week that Ansel Wright is not doing very well health-wise these days. His daughter Susan told me that Ansel had had a test, and it was discovered that his body was full of cancer. He's in a palliative state right now, still at home, being taken care of by his daughters. And Susan said that the doctors had given Ansel about 3 months to be here on this earth. So please pray for Ansel and the family. Ansel is 97 years old and ready to go home to be with his Lord. And let's pray for God's will to be done. We pray also for Susan and Heather and Ansel's other daughters. I can't remember their names just at the moment. For God's grace, comfort, peace, and strength during this time. It's a difficult time for them all, and we pray God's blessing upon them. So please keep Ansel in your prayers. Secondly, our missionary of the month for June is Audrey Lawrence. I would ask that you would keep Audrey in your prayers in your daily quiet times, that you would lift her up before the throne of grace and ask the Lord to bless her and continue to use her in service for the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, Premier Ford has extended emergency measures until now, June the 19th. I had heard earlier that it was all the way to the end of June, and then I saw a report just on Friday that said June 19th. Still then with group meeting numbers only at 5. But I did hear on the radio on Friday that he was going to be making a wonderful announcement of some good things early this week for more openings of businesses. Of course, no mention of churches, but that's kind of to be expected, I think. We are praying for an increase in group numbers so that we can get back together again here in this place. So stay tuned, and we'll keep you up to speed, and I'm sure you are watching all of this stuff on the news. Fourthly, our neighbors, Jay and Liz, and their new baby, Theodore. Surgery a week or so ago, and he is doing great. Everything is functioning properly. In fact, Mom and Dad were able to hold their new baby together for the first time a few days ago. And plans are for them all to be home today. I went past, as I drove past the house, there was a big sign in the front window saying, "Welcome home, Mom and Dad and Theo." So very nice, and we trust that that will go well for them. Praise the Lord for answered prayer and for his grace to Jay and Liz and Theo. Number five, Janice, a while ago, had asked prayer for a teacher family that she works with, Andrew and Lisa Murray. Andrew had a brain aneurysm and had some surgery done, I think it'd be a little more than a year ago now, was having some complications just a few months ago, and decided that they were going to have another bout of surgery again. And so he had the surgery on the brain last week. Everything went okay. They were able to go in through the same incision that they had before, so that was helpful. But everything went fine, and he actually came home from the hospital yesterday. So praise the Lord for his help for Andrew and Lisa, and we trust that his recovery will go well. And just pray for their spiritual needs as well. I'm not sure that they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and this might be opportunity to really get their attention and consideration of eternity. Number six, just for your encouragement, the first day of summer is coming on June the 20th. That's just a couple weeks away, so woohoo for summer. And I know that these days have been nice and warm and toasty, and I trust that you are enjoying the outdoors and the fresh air. And then lastly, just to let you know that everything around the church is good. We had an excellent financial report for May. Let me give you the numbers for missions and ministry and the mortgage from last month. In terms of our ministry fund, our tithes and offerings plus designated gifts amounted to $10,543 for the month. Our expenses were $7,982, and the balance in our ministry fund right now at the end of May is $16,372. In our missions fund, tithes and offerings and designated gifts amounted to $3,368. Our expenses, which is our mission support and setting some aside for missions Sundays and so on, our monthly expenses were $2,333, and the balance in our missions fund is now $5,758. And we praise the Lord for healthy balances in each of those funds, and thank you for your giving to the Lord, your tithes and offerings through this local church. Thank you for your faithfulness in giving in these days of separation as well. You all are awesome, and I thank you so much for the way you care for this church and the ministry needs that we have. Our mortgage is down to $50,317 at the end of May. So once again, praise the Lord for that good number. So, beloved, be patient, be encouraged, be hopeful. This coronavirus will soon be passed, enough for us to get back together. Let's continue to trust the Lord and his grace and his timing, because we know that God's timing is always perfect, and his purposes are always for our best and his glory.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears, but I felt His arms around me as I face my greatest fears. I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt, as Your grace rolled down upon me undeserved. For God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. Though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love was my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you but the best way I can say it is this: God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could, 'cause through it all, God's been good. God's been
Now, for our scripture reading this morning, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6, Gospel of John chapter 6. We're going to read a couple of sections here this morning as the text for our message in just a minute or two. So John chapter 6, find verse 25. We're going to begin there. We'll read down to verse 35 and then jump down to verse 47 and read through to 51. I invite you to follow along as we read God's word this morning. John 6, verse 25. Now when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, that is the crowd that was on the other side of the sea, the feeding of the 5,000, they're speaking to the Lord Jesus. And they said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that which for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Now down to verse 47. Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word this morning. So, while your Bibles are still open there to John chapter 6, we'd like to take a look at the passage that part of the passages that we read just a few minutes ago. The Apostle John very nicely tells us what his purpose is in writing his gospel. Over in chapter 20, verse 30 and 31, we read, And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Everything in John's gospel is written with this purpose in mind. All the work of Christ, every word that he spoke, everything that John writes about Jesus is for this great purpose in 20 verse 31. It is very much an evangelistic purpose. And you need to read this gospel as well as the other three gospels with that same purpose in mind. John chapter 6 follows this same purpose as well, where Jesus is giving information to the people that are all around him as to how they might have eternal life. Now let me remind you that this is Communion Sunday, and I plan to work our way through the I am statements of the Lord Jesus in John's gospel. We got interrupted for a couple of months due to the coronavirus shutdown. But I want to get back to this study again, so even though we are still suspended, let's study the I Ams. Do you remember how many I Am statements that Jesus made and that John records in this gospel? Do you know how many? Can you remember? Yes, that's right. There are seven I Am statements. Now, do you remember what they are? This is the quiz for the morning. See how many of them that you can get without having to look them up. There are seven. How many of them do you know? Well, just to check your answers, here are the seven I Ams of the Lord Jesus. Number one, I am the bread of life. Number two, I am the light of the world. Number three, I am the door. Number four, I am the good shepherd. Number five, I am the resurrection and the life. Number six, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And number seven, I am the vine. So, how'd you do? Send me an email to tell me how many of them that you got without looking. Of course, We know the number 7 is the number of perfection or completion in the Bible. So here is the perfect reflection of who our Savior is towards us and in these 7 things. And this is, of course, just plain awesome as we consider them. Now, last time, when we began this series back in March of 2020, we took a look at another verse in which Jesus declares simply, "I am," but without any object given, such as in the other 7, "I am the bread of life," "I am the good shepherd," and so on. In this one verse in John 8:58, Jesus simply says, "I am." Do you remember the verse? It's a verse that you need to keep in your memory. John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." This clear statement points to the deity of Jesus to the identity of the great I Am in Exodus 3, verses 13 through 14. We looked at it last time, but let me remind you what those verses say. Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." Now in Exodus chapter 3, it is the Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, speaking with Moses out of the burning bush. And he is talking to Moses to send him back to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt and into the promised land of Canaan. And in the very next verse, in verse 15 of Exodus 3, we read this, "And God said, Moreover, unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers," that is Jehovah Elohim, "of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations." So when Jesus said in John 8:58, "Before Abraham was, I am," he was clearly claiming to be the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. "I am" is the name of Jehovah God forever, and this is the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Furthermore, in John 8:58, I would submit to you, is the foundation for all the other I am statements of Christ that John records. This is foundational. He is the I am. So let's consider this morning the first I am of Jesus. I am the bread of life. This declaration is found, obviously, in John chapter 6, because that's where we are. In fact, Jesus says this 3 times in the chapter, in verse 35, verse 48, and verse 51. And there's one other time in this section where it says, Jesus said, "I am." But that other time is used by the Jews who are murmuring about Jesus because he said, "I am the bread." That's in verse 41. Now, John 6 has 71 verses in it. It's a long chapter. And of course, we don't have time this morning to exposit the whole chapter, but we must consider some of the chapter to get the context for Jesus' statement. Let me give you a quick general broad outline for chapter 6. And this is just going by the sections that we find here in the chapter. Number 1, Jesus feeds the 5,000. That's verses 1 through 15, which is kind of the backdrop for his teaching being the bread of life. Number 2, Jesus walks on the water in verses 16 through 21, obviously showing his power over natural creation. He can walk on the water. Thirdly, Jesus teaching on the bread of life goes from verse 22 all the way to verse 59. And as when you read through that chapter, you will find that there are some of the people who were listening to Jesus and what he was teaching about that said, this is too hard. We can't handle this anymore. And they left following him, which is a sad decision to make. So it's quite an involved section of teaching in verse 22 to 59. And then lastly, number 4, Jesus and the words of eternal life from verse 60 down through 71, kind of the aftermath of his teaching and what it would mean for his disciples. Of interest to us this morning is that Jesus' statement on being the bread of life follows his miraculous feeding of the 5,000 men, plus others, with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, back in verse 9. It's not certain that any of those 5,000 men, plus women and children, were aware that Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 small fishes to feed them all until they were satisfied, and there were even 12 baskets full of fragments left over after everyone had had their fill. We don't know if they were aware of that miraculous teaching. All we do know is that their hunger was satisfied, and they were happy to receive the free meal on the mountain. Now, after the meal, Jesus went up into a high mountain. He sent his disciples away, and the next day he arrived in Capernaum with his disciples. And the crowd from the previous day followed him there, verses 22 to 25. And we read we read part of those verses earlier, so you can just have a look at, just scan over the verses 22 to 25. The people said to Jesus when they found him, "Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you get here?" In other words, but Jesus understood that they weren't really interested in his itinerary or his schedule. They were only interested in having another free meal. And Jesus really does call them out on it in verse 26 and 27. Notice what he says. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed." So Jesus, he knows what's exactly in their hearts and in their minds and what their real purpose in looking for him was. They were wanting their new hunger to be satisfied with that free meal. But Jesus exhorts them not to work for the meat which perishes, but for that which endures unto everlasting life, which is going to only come through the Lord Jesus. So Jesus' statement in verse 26 and 27 then sparks another question from the crowd. From verse 28 down through 31, Jesus said in verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life." So the people come back to him and say, "Well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God and labor for the meat that leads to eternal life?" Jesus simply tells them, "This is the work of God, that ye," what? "Believe on him whom he hath sent," and that is the Lord Jesus. Of course, then they wanted to have a sign so that they would know that he is the one that had come, that the Father had sent to them. It's like they just don't get what Jesus is saying from verse 27. All they want is to get the free bread, really, from Jesus. So then Jesus takes the time to teach them about the true bread. And the true bread is not manna, as Israel had in the wilderness wandering so long ago. The bread of heaven is a person, and it is the Lord Jesus. Look at verse 23. "For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." He giveth life unto the world. So the bread of God, the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven. And the one who has come down from heaven is to give life to this world. Please notice that this bread from heaven, this bread of God, is the person of Jesus Christ. And he gives life to this world. How? Well, we'll talk about that in a moment. The Believer's Bible Commentary makes this statement from verse 33 and 34. The Lord Jesus revealed himself as the bread of God, which came down from heaven and gives life. He was showing the superiority of the bread of God to the manna in the wilderness. The manna did not impart life, but only sustained physical life. It was not intended for the whole world, but only for Israel. The true bread comes down from heaven and gives life to men, not just to one nation, but to all the world. The Jews still did not realize that the Lord Jesus was speaking about himself as the true bread. And so they asked him for the bread. They were still thinking in terms of a literal loaf. Unfortunately, there was no real faith in their hearts. End quote. So then Jesus tells them very plainly, tells this crowd, the Jews around him, in verse 35 he says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." It seems clear that what Jesus was telling the crowd was that he, being the bread of life, would provide for their hunger and thirst if they would come to him and believe on him. The bread of life is of a spiritual nature, not physical, and is only consumed by faith and belief and trust in him. And then Jesus makes two more statements that he is the bread of life. We'll look at these for this morning. Over in John 6, verse 47 to 51, we read, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread, which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Notice a couple of things in this little section. In verse 48, Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." Using the term "that" specifies a particular bread. It is the bread of life that the Father has given for the world to eat in order to have eternal life. No other bread is going to do that. Only the Lord Jesus is the one who has come down as the bread of life, and through whom people who will believe on him can have eternal life. He is that bread that was sent down from heaven from the Father. No other man in all of this universe, in all of this world, past, present, or future, will be able to give the forgiveness of sins and eternal life as Jesus does to those who would come to him and believe on him and trust him as their Lord and Savior. He is that bread of life. And then, there is no other bread of life than Jesus. Only Christ can give eternal life to those who believe on him, who trust him and what he did on Calvary's cross in the giving of his life for our sins. And also in verse 51, Jesus points out that he is the living bread. As such, any man who would eat of this bread shall live forever. Live forever. The bread that if any man shall eat this bread, in verse 51, he shall live forever. He is the living bread. So keep in mind, to eat is to believe on the Lord Jesus and to trust in him as Lord and Savior. And then Jesus says at the end of verse 51, "The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Now, I don't know about you, but I read that and I go, "What? The bread that I will give is my flesh." In just a few more verses, he's going to say, in verse 54, "Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." He is the living bread that has come down from heaven, from God the Father, and he is saying now that the bread that he is going to give is his flesh, which he gives for the life of the world, and that we need to eat that flesh. What in the world does Jesus mean by that statement? Well, it will take more time than we have left this morning to talk about that, so we'll consider the meaning and the explanation of this statement next time. Just for this morning, just know that God has given us spiritual nourishment for our soul and spirit by giving us his only begotten Son, the living bread from heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you do, you will live forever. I trust that you know him as Lord and Savior this morning. We'll talk more about Jesus being the bread of life next time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for kind of a brief introduction to this statement by the Lord Jesus being the bread of life. We thank you that he is clearly telling those who are around him, and then us through John's record of it, of his statement, that there is no one else that can give us eternal life than the Lord Jesus, and we need to consume him by faith, by trust, and belief in order for us then to have that eternal life as well. And I pray that you would give us all this week ahead to maybe meditate a little bit more on this statement in John chapter 6 and try to reflect some on our own situation, our own connection with the Lord Jesus by our faith and trust in him as well. And I pray that you'll just bless your word to our hearts this morning. Plant it deep in our minds and help us to carefully ponder those things that have been said, and be sure that we know Christ as our Savior, that we have the hope of eternity because of our faith in him. Bless just now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friends, that's about it for this morning. Be well. Be listening for the trumpet and the voice of the archangel calling us up to meet the Lord in the air. Be encouraged. God bless you all. Till next time, we are dismissed.